We're back.
That's where we insert in the can
opening.
Opening.
Welcome back to the Kapower Hour. I'm Lauren Powell.
And I'm Sean Casey.
And we are
the Kapowers. Kaparents.
Yeah.
And our
Katired.
Katired.
Here comes Quinny. We have a new podcast host here. He's so cute. She's wearing a hat because she had to walk through the sun in our yard to get to our new podcast studio shed.
Hi, Quinny.
Hi, cute baby.
Oh, hi, smiling.
All right, let's see how much of this we can record while holding the baby.
Okay.
Here she is.
We're going to talk about you.
The reason for the podcast hiatus, the reason we ghosted you all. In the middle of the first season.
Yeah. Did we even tell people that we were going to stop?
I didn't even know we were going to stop. I just suddenly couldn't edit anymore. I couldn't sit in my computer chair. We just stopped. I thought we were going to make it full term. She's got a lot to say. Mm-hmm. I thought the podcast was going to go to full term and then we would take a break and come back with season two. But
was your plan we're just going to record a podcast like the day before she's due and then, and then going to pick it up right away after that.
Honestly, yeah. I thought we would be back to doing this podcast a lot sooner than 3 months.
Instead, we quit a month before our 2 days.
And we came back a month late. But that's life. First things first, I get to have a drink this episode. The whole podcast, the first season.
Oh, wait.
I was pregnant the whole time, so I didn't drink for any of it.
We started this when you were pregnant, because I'm drinking every episode.
Sure are.
You were sober the whole time?
Yeah. Yeah, I was. Huh. Long time. So now I'm very tired. So I'm drinking my own beverage that you can't even buy right now, but it's my pumpkin spiked latte collaboration with Study Break. It has caffeine and booze because that is mom life.
That's what you need. So what are we going to talk about?
Well, so the number one thing, this was very surprising when I was trying to figure out, you know, what people wanted to hear about. The comment that I got over and over and over was my birth story. Everyone wants to hear my birth story.
I don't know if I've ever asked any person, can I hear your birth story?
You don't ask a lot of questions, though.
That's true. But is that something that I should be asking people?
No, probably not. As a male, it's a little weird if you just are like, hey, what's your birth story? I think it's like women just want to hear, I think we want to commiserate and we want to hear, because every birth story is vastly different. So it all began.
It all began when we stopped doing the podcast in early October.
Yeah, so my due date was November 5th. And like a week before my due date, I had a checkup with my doctor. And I remember she was like, do you want me to check your cervix? And I made this big fuss, which is so comical. Cause I was like, I don't want you to check my cervix because if I'm dilated, I don't want to be stressed out thinking, oh, she's going to come any day now. Mm-hmm. Like, because apparently if your cervix is dilated, it means jack shit. Like you can be dilated and still have a 40 hour labor. Like it doesn't mean anything, but it also could mean something. It's comical that I was so worried about knowing. I didn't want to know if I was dilated a week before because I just thought it would stress me out. And it's so I turned her down. And I said, I don't want to know. I don't need my cervix checked.
Yeah. And little did you know that you would not be dilated for a while.
Very long time. Yeah.
I mean, I think that last week it's kind of hilarious. Or even like that last month, right? I saw a thing on Instagram that was like, you know, the last month of pregnancy is so weird because you could have a baby tomorrow.
Right.
Or you could have a baby in 5 weeks.
Right.
And it's just every day.
You have to be prepared for either scenario.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I went to my doctor 2 days before my due date. And I think she checked my cervix then. And she had asked if I wanted to get my membranes swept, which apparently is like super painful and it can help get labor going. And I was really adamant. Like I just wanted to have a spontaneous labor. I wanted my spontaneous labor, you know, movie moment where like, oh my God, my water broke. Look at this huge puddle, like a big splash. You hear it in the other room. You come running. You're like, did you just pee? And I'm like, no, I think my water broke. And then you're like, oh God, okay, we got to pack the bags. Like I wanted my movie moment.
We did not have a movie
moment. No, we didn't. But That's kind of why I kept, I didn't want to be induced.
Why do you think you wanted that? Like, what?
You have no idea what it's like to grow up watching like rom-coms, clearly. You were too busy watching sports.
We didn't watch a lot of movies growing up.
I know.
Okay, so it's like you wanted to be the star.
There's just, it's, you know how you just watch certain things and you think that's how it's supposed to go in your head?
Yeah. The only comparable thing I have is one time in high school, I was at a party. And I remember looking around and thinking, like, this is like 10 things I hate about you. I mean, like, I'm in that right now.
Okay.
So yeah, it's I had like my that. Movie moment in high school.
Yeah.
Okay. So you needed it, wanted it. When?
Yeah. Well, I really didn't want to be induced because I had just heard horror stories about, you know, pushing your body to do something when it's not ready to do it results in like really long labor and... possibly, you know, C-section. And I just really wanted to give my body the chance to do what it was built to do. And I was fine if I needed to get induced at the time because they don't let you go past 41 weeks. So I was like, fine, if it comes to that, I'll do it. But I want to give my body the chance to do what it was, what it's meant to do, you know, to be like a movie. Anyway, so I go in 2 days before my due date. She checks my cervix. And I was like, okay, fine. You know, I had considered getting my membrane swept. I was like, I guess I should do it. I was agonizing all week on whether or not I was going to let her do it. And then she's like, oh, you're not dilated. And I'm like, okay, well, you can still sweep my membrane.
She's like, oh, sweetie.
Yeah. She's like, we can't do that if you're not dilated. I was like, oh, okay. Well, I guess I wasted the anxiety over that for nothing.
A lot of wasted anxiety in pregnancy.
So then my due date comes and goes, and she was basically like, we're going to set an appointment for you to come in and take this medication like 4 days after your due date. If you don't need the appointment because you've gone into labor, great, no problem, but we'll just set the appointment.
That was for misoprostol.
That was for this medication that I could take that would soften, was supposed to help soften my cervix at home. So not, there were like things that they could do. She knew I really didn't want to be induced. And so there were things that they were able to offer me to do things at home, to try to kickstart and have a spontaneous labor. So I go in 4 days after my due date. And mind you, this whole time, you know, the internet had told me that Taco Bell will induce labor. And so leading up to my due date, I was like, I can't have Taco Bell. It's going to put me into labor. I can't have anything spicy. I'll go into labor. It's that easy. And then
kind of like in high school and they're like, oh my God, you're going to get pregnant.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, exactly.
Fear mongering.
But then as my due date came, I was like, all right, I made it to my due date. Give me all the Taco Bell. I ate Taco Bell like 4 days in a row. It was a great time.
I remember that.
It was delightful.
Mm-hmm. Is that the first time you've ordered Taco Bell and didn't hide
years.
It?
Oh, and didn't hide it from you? It's the first time I did it while you were in town. And yeah, that's true. Flaunted it in front of you.
Have we told that story before?
No, it's just that every time you went out of town, I used to get Taco Bell.
And then one time we had a credit card that we didn't really use. And so I had like notifications turned on and I'm in an Uber on the way to the airport and I get a text notification that like $35 had been spent at Taco Bell. That was just like, really? Already?
And that was like 8 years ago too. Yeah. So $35 at Taco Bell was a lot.
I was like, I'm like in the Uber a mile from our house and you're already ordering Taco Bell?
That was slightly embarrassing, but you know what? We were already married, so you couldn't back out. So lots of Taco Bell. I go in to take this medication, misoprostol. That was a kind of hard decision to take the medication because it's the same medication they gave me when I had my miscarriage, my first miscarriage, to pass the miscarriage. And it's what was so, it kickstarted labor. I had contractions when I was only like eight weeks pregnant. And I was like going into labor on my bathroom floor. You know how like traumatizing that was. So I was like pretty emotional that I had to like take this medicine again.
Mm-hmm. But I think our doula did a really good job of like reframing it a little bit for you.
I was terrified of how painful labor was going to be. And she kind of reframed it for me. And she was like, you've already been through, like you've already felt this level of pain. I actually would argue you have a very high pain threshold because you've already felt excruciating pain. And then at the end of this, though, there's a baby on the other side of that pain. And that really kind of lessened my fear. Mm-hmm. So that was awesome. Shout out Haley and Madison from Breathe Bitch Doula. Also highly recommend. I could do a whole episode on how amazing it was to have doulas. Mm-hmm. If you guys want to know about that. So I go in for this medication. They give it to you. They set you up on a monitor, fetal heart rate monitor, to see if you have any contractions while you're on the medication. So then they send me home because it's the type of medication that you can do at home. But you have to go back. So we go back 24 hours later to check my cervix. I'm still not dilated. They give me another dose. I go home. And at this point, they told me, you know, come back at 2 p.m. on Friday, 5 days, 6 days past my due date. Come back at 2 p.m. on Friday and we'll just admit you to the hospital. We can give you this medication every 4 hours, but you have to be
in the hospital.
Hospital for it. Friday was like one of those, the most chaotic day. Because I
kind of a movie moment.
Yeah, I guess that's true. It was mm-hmm. very much like Home Alone running through the mm-hmm. airport.
Yeah.
That day, I didn't realize, you know, I thought we could just go in whenever.
Right.
Because they didn't really give me a time. They were like, come back and we'll admit you and then we'll start it.
And our doula had said, come back at night.
Right? Yeah, she was like, most births happen in the middle of the night. So you want to like get there. That's why they say like you should labor at home as long as you can before going in, because you can like rest and relax and still be like trick your body into thinking it's nighttime. So that day we were like, okay, I guess we can go in. We're going to go in at like 8 o'clock. So before that, I booked a massage, like an acupuncture appointment. We had dinner reservations and then I get a call.
Get a call.
I get a call from my midwife. And she was like, yeah, come on back at like 2 p.m. because that's 24 hours from your last dose. And I was like, what? 2 p.m.? She's like, yep, it's got to be, you know, within that window. I was like, oh, Jesus. Like,
what about
my massage? Yeah. Yeah. So that was at like noon. She called me back and I had my appointment at 12:30. I had to call. I had just booked it. I had to call literally 15 minutes later and cancel the dinner reservations. We're like throwing everything together. We're like, all right, guess we're doing it. We're going in.
It's happening.
And we were like, all right, we're going to be here for days.
Yeah. Cause I mean, you weren't dilated,
right?
For, you know, you're a week past your due date. You're not dilated. I mean, I was like, all right, we're going to be here 3 to 5 days.
We assumed I was going to have to get induced, which is slow.
Right. And I assumed that was going to happen Saturday.
Right.
And then maybe start birthing Sunday, then who a knows? Few days after that we leave. So
we thought we were going on a week-long vacation.
I was planning.
We had 6 suitcases, 2 backpacks. Everyone laughed at us when we walked in.
We had a fire stick for our TV to watch TV shows.
Movies. Books. Yeah, we were in it for the long haul.
Little did we know.
Also hilarious. So I get in. They check my cervix. There was no offense to residents, right? She was a resident, right? Mm-hmm. So this young whippersnapper comes in and she's like, I'm going to check your cervix. And I'm like, okay, great. And she's like, I don't think you're dilated. I was like, you don't think? Do you maybe want to check again and no? I don't think you're dilated. Okay. I'm like, girl, have another coffee. I need you to get back up in there and make sure that I'm not dilated.
You're the doctor.
Yeah.
This is a yes or no thing.
It definitely did not instill any confidence in me. It's crazy. In California, or at least at Kaiser, you're not guaranteed to have your midwife or your OB deliver your baby. There is a rotation. It's a group practice. And so I had just known that there was, you know,
better than 50% chance
that she wouldn't be the one. Yeah. It was like one in seven chance, because my midwife only only delivers babies one day a week.
Right.
And it just so freaking happened that she was on that day. So she was there when I got there, which was really great. Cause then we talked, she knew how much I didn't want to be induced. We talked about my options and kind of put a plan in place. And I think that like really set me up for like a good headspace mm-hmm. moving into that night. They give me the medication again. And at this point, now that I'm admitted, I'm hooked up, you know, whatever, to the monitors and all these things. I'm in our L&D room. They can administer this medication every 4 hours. And then if that doesn't work, then they can move on to the next step and mm-hmm. then another step, all leading possibly towards induction, but possibly not if the medication does what it's supposed to do.
Right.
we're like, okay, let's order dinner. Like, it's just a comedy of errors. I'm like, well, I'm not having birth anytime soon. Let's get Chipotle. do not get anything with rice in it.
I mean,
if you are going into labor.
You know, you thought Taco Bell would cause labor. You thought all this spicy food would cause labor. The last thing you ate was Chipotle. And what happened?
I threw it up all over everyone.
What happened?
After that. Yeah, I went into labor. So maybe it was Chipotle, not Taco Bell.
Yeah, who knows?
Or maybe it was all of the Taco Bell and then the Chipotle on top. You're just
overloading your system. Yeah, Chipotle was not a great choice because we were both really gassy, locked in a room together with strangers.
And then when I threw up, it went everywhere, like rice everywhere.
Yeah. So
we'll get to that. So they give me the medication once. They gave it to me once, and then they were like, okay, you're really not dilated. I would love to talk to you about the Foley balloon. And I had thought I didn't want it, but they didn't convince me, but I was convinced after hearing them talk about it. But again, the Foley balloon is where they insert this thing into your cervix and it has a balloon on either side. They inflate a balloon on either side of your cervix and it's supposed to like open your cervix for you slowly over time. And if your cervix is nice and like ripe and soft, then that happens a lot easier. But it also isn't a sure thing. You could use the Foley balloon and your cervix and nothing could happen. So they were like, so also cervix checks are painful. Like those don't feel good. And so she was like, do you want a Foley balloon? Do you want pain meds first? And I was like, is it painful? Is it as painful as you just checking my cervix was? And she was like, yes, worse. And I was like, give me the drugs. And so they gave me morphine, which I didn't know. Is a nice little treat.
Yeah.
For someone who didn't drink for 9 months, morphine was like chugging a bottle of wine in 3 seconds.
Yeah. It like hit you so fast.
So fast.
And then like your whole demeanor just like changed. You just started like cracking jokes. And it was like you were like on stage at like doing stand up.
Open mic.
And like you look at me and you're just like firing jokes at me. And like they're all laughing. I'm like, what just happened? Like, I'm getting roasted by my drunk wife who's about to go into labor.
It was a delight.
Yeah. I mean, it was funny, but like,
I was having a great time. Yeah, I didn't even feel.
It's like everyone just sort of stood back and like watched you do your thing.
I didn't even feel the Foley balloon because I was on cloud nine.
Yeah.
Cloud wine.
So that was like, what, like 8 p.m.?
Yeah, it was like 8 p.m. So they put in the Foley balloon and they're like, oh, this takes like 12 hours. All right. So I'm like, all right, great. Let's fire up the fire stick. Let's put it on the TV.
Yeah.
We're in it for the long haul.
And we had decided that Sopranos was going to be the show that we were going to watch in our pregnancy.
We never have seen Sopranos. Everyone talked about it. We were like, all right, we have 3 days at the hospital. Let's watch 3 seasons of Sopranos.
But we did start. I think we got one episode. We got one episode in.
So I started having contractions in the middle of the night. They're pretty painful. Thank goodness for the morphine. I couldn't sleep very well. The nurses, all of a sudden, like my L&D nurse and a couple others, they rush in. You're asleep. It's probably midnight. They rush in and then they try to act really cool. And I'm on morphine, so it probably worked. But I just remember being like, you guys are acting like overly cool about something, overly like,
whoa,
calm.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Why are you guys acting this way?
Yeah. Like, I was like, you're not being very subtle. You're like, we're just going to check the baby's heartbeat real quick. No big deal. And I was like, oh, okay, great. And we just need you to turn on your side. And so I was like, okay, let me just adjust. And they were like, we need you to turn on your side now. I was like, jeez. I was not turning fast enough, but they were being so cool about it. And then they like lost it. I was like, oh, this is not, you were lying is what I'm hearing.
Like, do you guys need some morphine? It seems like you need to chill out a little bit.
Just take a hit of this.
Yeah.
So the baby's heart rate kept dropping, decelerating really quickly when I laid on one side. Mm-hmm. So then after they moved me, her heart rate steadied again. But after that, it was so hard to sleep because I just kept listening to the heart rate monitor to make sure I could hear her heart rate beeping and stuff. And they rushed in like one more time after that.
I think it's true. I mean, I remember waking up and like looking over and being like, should I do something? Do I need it? And I was like, well, no, it's the doctors and nurses. Like, I'll just lay here. And if they tell me to do something, I'll do it.
Yeah.
But yeah, they broke into the room like two or three times. Yeah. And I was like,
it's basically like if the baby's heart rate doesn't stabilize, that's how C-sections happen.
Right.
So here I am thinking, great. Oh, because they're afraid that maybe the cord dropped around her neck.
Right.
And so when you lay a certain way, it her heart rate dropped. So then anyway, I finally probably fall back to sleep. And then I am awoken by this explosion of water. And I thought it was the Foley. Or no, I was awoken by this huge pop.
You thought it was the balloon
I popping? Thought the Foley balloon popped and that I could feel it burst in my abdomen. And I'm like, I think the Foley balloon's full of liquid. I don't know what, they have to blow it up with something. I thought it was full of liquid. And so I called the nurse and I was like, a bunch of liquid just came out and there's a really big pop in my stomach. And they were like, bitch, your water just broke.
They're like, you just had your movie moment. Yeah, you didn't even know.
I didn't even know. Let me tell you.
Too hopped up on morphine. Yeah. They didn't know that you had your movie moment.
It was so much fluid. Like, and then it all happened so fast after that. That was at like 5 a.m. There was this explosion in my abdomen. Water is everywhere. The pain is onset immediately that I don't even have time to grab my like nausea bag. And I just vomit Chipotle everywhere. So I'm sitting in my water broke fluid. I've just vomited everywhere. And they're like, we need to change rooms. We need to
change rooms.
Yeah.
Yes. I forgot about that. Yeah. So me and the nurses cleaned everything up.
You did?
Yeah, I
helped. You cleaned it up?
Not cleaned it up, but like got all our stuff. We had all our...
So much shit.
Yeah, we had so much shit.
Six suitcases.
Had to unhook the Fire Stick and get it cooked into the new TV. Oh man,
what would we have done without you?
No, but we had a lot to do really quickly to get you into another room.
Yeah.
Because it was like, oh, this is actually...
Well, so my water broke. They came in and checked my cervix and they were like, check my cervix. Like whenever they put the Foley balloon in at 10 p.m., 7 hours later, I went from 1 centimeter dilated to 7. And they were like, oh, we thought they had told me the Foley balloon will usually get you to about 4 centimeters in 12 hours. And I got to 7 centimeters. And then my water exploded, which they also did not see coming. They were like, we didn't think your water, that's not, the Foley balloon doesn't make your water break.
Yeah.
So that it was all, it was just like a mess, a whirlwind, everything. Everyone is like, oh, we were not thinking. They also thought we were going to be there for a while.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, it's happening now.
Yes. And I'm like, epidural, epidural, epidural. I was like, I knew I wanted one. I know there's a window that if you wait, if it goes too fast and you get an epidural, you could be in too much pain and they can't place it. Or if you get it too early, it can slow down labor. And so when my water broke, I was like, I want the epidural. And the contractions came on super fast and really painful. But I had, I think I, within 45 minutes, the epidural lady was there. And I'm glad in this weird way. I'm like, I got to experience contractions before the epidural was put in. I'm like, okay, great. I got 45 minutes of that. I got my fill. I'm good now. And the epidural lady was like, she was all business. Do you remember this lady?
Oh, yeah.
She was just very serious.
She was a character. I mean, we have several friends who had their epidural fail or had the epidural administered wrongly. So this woman was all business. Mm-hmm. She crushed it.
She over crushed it. She gave me too much.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, you're supposed to be able to feel a little bit. I couldn't feel shit, remember? I couldn't push. We'll get to that.
I mean, you pushed enough.
I didn't push. I folded forward. I squeezed it out.
Okay. Anyways, I think the epidural woman did her job correctly.
She did a great job.
Yeah.
Epidural was in immediately relief. This is like 6 a.m. And so then I'm just sitting there. I don't even remember. My doula.
You went to sleep.
Oh, you had to call. So my doulas were also on call because they didn't want to come and just wait around in the hospital until I was like in labor, active labor.
Yeah.
And so you had to call them and they're like, get here. It's
it's happening.
All of a sudden it's happening. So I slept.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I don't remember.
Mm-hmm. And well, once you had the epidural, you were just like, ooh.
I was so tired though. Like, cause I barely slept.
Yeah. So then you went to sleep for like another 2 hours, but it was like, now it's happening.
Yeah. So then epidural goes in at like 6 a.m. let's say. And then at 10 a.m. or maybe 9, they checked my cervix again and they were like, oh, you're at 10. So I was like,
yeah,
they were like, it is time to start pushing. and or it's about to be time to start pushing. They told you like, oh, she's going to have to start pushing soon. This could take a while. Labor could take a while. Have you eaten today?
I was like, no.
Oh, we better get dad. We better get dad some food. This is going to take a long time.
Yeah.
That's so, what they all said.
Yeah. She's like, hey, go get some food. Well, they're like, you have an hour or two to before anything starts. So
comical.
Yeah. Haley was like, hey, there's this great burrito place right around the corner from the hospital. They have the best breakfast burritos.
So did you leave the hospital?
Oh, yeah.
I cannot believe you left the hospital.
Haley and the doctor told me to do that.
I still can't believe you. Someone should have asked me.
You're just riding.
I'm an hour away from having to push, and you're like, yeah, I'm going to leave.
Well, they said in the next couple hours. So I was like, I haven't had any food in 12 hours. And they're like,
neither had I. Buck up.
Are you mad that I had a breakfast burrito the morning of our baby's birth?
I'm realizing now that I am not over it. That I have some...
Everyone in the room told me to go get some food.
Well, everyone was wrong. Because what happened?
Well, I went to get food and the doctor...
OB comes in and she's like in a hurry. We didn't like her. She was like... I hadn't met this one yet. There's so many different doctors. And so she comes in and she's like, all right, we got to push. And the L&D nurse, thank goodness her and the doula were like, no, her husband's not here. And she was like, I have someone else about to be in labor. I need her to push. Uh-huh. Like, oh, I'm sorry. This doesn't work for your schedule.
And I'm like, I'm sorry. My breakfast burrito is less important than this birth.
And so you sent a selfie to your sister.
I sent it to my whole family. And I was like, last breakfast burrito before it happens. And then I get a text from Haley and she's like, hey, where are you? They're trying to like force her to go into labor. So,
force her to push.
Yeah.
Force
me and to push. At that point, I was actually back in the hospital and was just down in the cafeteria. And I was
What were you doing down in the hot cafeteria?
I was eating the burrito. I didn't want to eat in the room and contaminate it. So I was just eating the burrito or eating in the cafeteria by myself.
Your last moment of peace.
Yeah.
Ever.
So I'm like, all right, I'll.
Hope you remembered it.
Yeah. It was delicious. I think I'm going to go back every year on Quinn's birthday and get a breakfast burrito from there. It's really good.
Should I push a watermelon out of my strawberry every year too?
Push a watermelon out of your strawberry?
Mm-hmm. That's a good visual.
So I finally get back up there and they're like, I guess we can start now.
That OB was gone. She was like, I guess I can.
Yeah, and the woman who ended up coming in was so much way nicer and way better. Totally. So it worked out.
It probably, cause I probably would have torn more if this woman was in such a freaking rush. So I'm pushing. Before the whatever, they make you push with the L&D nurse before the actual OB comes in for the final push. I pushed for like 45 minutes. I think I pushed like four or five times.
Yeah, we had the things up, the bar up. I had one leg.
You had a leg.
Yeah.
The doula, Haley, had the other leg. And I'm sleep deprived. I'm on, you know, residual morphine. I can't feel anything. I can't even feel the contractions. And so they have to tell me when the contraction is coming, and then they tell you to push. And I'm like, am I pushing? Am I doing it? Guys, how about this? Do you see it? Am I doing anything yet? I couldn't feel anything. So I was just like squeezing my legs towards my chest. And I think that was like squeezing her out like toothpaste. Because I certainly wasn't doing anything downstairs.
We eventually got there and I was like, all right, this position is good. Your legs here. We change your legs around a few times.
Was that like seeing the head? Like when was the head there? When I first started pushing, it was already there.
No, it took a little while, but then like you're just seeing like a little bit. But then once it was like, oh, it's happening. It was wild. There's a video. So I think Haley
has a video of you reacting.
Has a video of my face. Because a lot of guys were like, oh, I don't want to be down there. I don't want to see
it. Or a lot of wives don't want their husbands down there.
Yeah.
I was on drugs, so I was like, whatever. Let's go live.
You're replying to fan questions in the middle of her.
I'm dealing with trolls.
No. I was like, I want to be down there. I'm not like squeamish about blood or anything, and I wanted to be part of it. So I had your like leg up here, and then you're pushing, and it was just like... This is insane that this is how birth happens.
Just comes out of it?
Yeah, it was.
It starts and ends in the same place.
Yeah. Eh, nice.
Did you think about it?
Took me a second. Yeah. Yeah, I think I just remember just being like awestruck that this is how this happens. But I wasn't grossed out at all. I wasn't, it didn't like
scare you.
Yeah, it didn't scare me. And I think also like it happened so quickly. I guess we were like, we had a goal, right? So we were like, all right, you know, a couple more pushes and you can get this much more. And so I like really latched on to the, like, this is a team project and we're going to get this done. So there was no like being grossed out or anything for me. It was just like, oh, and I was like learning, I was watching the doctor as she was reading the contraction charts. And I was like, oh, okay. I understand what she's looking at. Like, all right, cool. I can help with this and like prepare you as well. And yeah, so I really just like dove into the process of it and was like,
you're basically a doctor.
I'm a problem solver.
Yeah.
And so yeah, it was cool. I was happy to be part of it. And it was,
you're just happy to be there.
Just happy to be there.
So I was terrified of this whole process too. Here's a PSA to everyone. You're scaring women. You're all scaring us. Everyone talking about your horror stories is making us all very scared. People joking, oh, there's so much fluid, there's so much blood, all this stuff. I was going into it just being so scared of something women have been doing thousands of years in a very safe, I was in a very safe place. And I kind of wish I had looked at things more.
Yeah, because they asked you, do you want to look? Do you want a mirror?
And do you want a mirror? No. Right. And now I kind of wish I had, but I didn't want a mirror because I assumed there was going to be a ton of blood. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure it's different for everyone.
Sure.
But maybe don't offer mirrors to the bloody ones. Like, yeah. You'd be like, hey, look, it's pretty calm down there. You should look in the mirror.
Yeah, well, like, they asked you if you wanted to touch the head, and you're like, no. And they, like, and I was like, hey, like, I think you should. Like, it's not gross. It's not crazy.
It is wild, though. Your legs are up. They're like, here, give me your hand. And you reach around. You can't see. And they're like, touch that. That's your baby's head. Poking out of your nethers, and it's real squishy. Yeah. I'm like, did we forget her skull? Go back up in there. Come back when your head is fully formed. This is too spongy.
I feel like the PSL is hitting pretty hard. Huh?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I love how one drink and you are all good takes. Right now.
We'll do a whole episode on drinking after baby. Anyway, yeah, so I'm glad they made me convince me to touch the baby's head. Mm-hmm.
But like all in all, it was like 45 minutes.
45 minutes. Yeah. I pushed like four times, couldn't feel it. So no pain. She comes out, I guess her cord was partially wrapped around her neck, which was part of the reason for all the heart rate deceleration. Mm-hmm. So got lucky there that it didn't result in a C-section. But yeah, so the baby's born. Everyone is like, I can't believe that. We all thought you were going to be here forever. I thought I was going to be there forever. And you know what I credit the fast labor too. So like, it's funny, your cervix needs to be soft and ripe and like it needs to be the right thickness or whatever, like so that it can open and the whole process can happen. Look, I'm a doctor. I've watched Grey's Anatomy seasons 1 through 5, 7 times. And so who knew the cervix was so important? Well, you know who knew is the people who recommended dates. I have been eating dates since 32 weeks, and it's apparently one of the only things that they actually have studies.
Proven, yeah.
That it does soften your cervix or ripen your cervix, one or the other. And that was one of the things that I did, and I was consistent. I also love dates and sugar. I was eating like 4 a day starting at 32 weeks up until I gave birth.
Are you going to start your own date company? Is this
should
like
a big believer in the dates. I tried the tea, man. The tea was annoying. And
you tried everything.
I tried literally everything. And I do believe the dates helped with this process. Once the Foley balloon helped kickstart getting my cervix to open, it was so soft from all the, this is my diagnosis. It was so soft from all the dates I had eaten that labor, my water broke, like everything was expedited so much faster. Mm-hmm. And the doctors, nobody thought that this was going to happen so quickly because nobody knew how many dates I had been eating. So
I didn't know this was coming. I didn't know you felt so strong about the dates.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. My friend Chelsea just gave birth. I was like, did you eat your dates? She's like, oh, I forgot you told me to do that. I was like, well, and she had a C-section. No, I'm just kidding, Chelsea. I love you. What's in this?
You're buzzed.
Is my face red?
But yeah, so, I think that was another time where we both were like, all right, this is going to take two more days. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden it's like, nope, this is happening right now. I was texting my family updates. All right, you think, you know, 6-12 hours. Yeah. And just kidding, it's happening now.
Yeah.
Here's a photo of me in the burrito booth.
Yeah.
And here's the baby.
Yeah. For something that was so drawn out, it's wild how fast it happened once it started. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, I mean, another like comedy of errors. The OB had on, she had on face mask and plastic shield, the face shield. And so I can't hear her. I can't read her lips. So she comes in at the end and she's like, you're going to push, but you're going to stop when I tell you to stop. And that so that you don't tear. And I'm like, okay, this is really important. Gotcha. I'm going to stop when you tell me to stop. So I'm pushing, I'm grunting. Right. And then she's like, stop. And I can't see her mouth. I can't hear her. And she's like, stop. And I'm like, oh my God, lady, you should have yelled the first time. I couldn't like, so whatever, who knows? I tore a tiny bit, but maybe I would have torn less if I could have seen her mouth.
Yeah. It also could have been the Taylor Swift that was playing.
Oh yeah. So we had a labor. I really thought I was going to make a labor playlist. I never did. But then I was like, we'll just play Taylor Swift.
Well, so we played
a bunch of different things.
Cruising mix and rap music while you were like, needing to push.
Yeah.
And then once it started, we started Taylor Swift.
Yeah. We put Taylor on shuffle and then it shuffled to You Belong With Me yeah. as she was coming out.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was pretty sweet.
And Hayley Ardula like put up like Christmas lights in the corner and it just sort in of a like shape
in a heart.
In a heart. And yeah. it was very Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
The OB, she like loved that we were playing Taylor Swift.
Oh, she did?
Yeah. Everyone loved that we had music on and we're playing Taylor Swift. I'm like, do people not have music?
Did they like when we played All I Do Is Win by DJ Khaled?
I think everyone loved that. Like, yeah. I don't know. I guess maybe people don't realize that you can do whatever you want in the delivery room. It's your delivery room.
Yeah, you can go get a burrito and your wife's about to go in labor.
Everyone like told me to do that.
Maybe you should start thinking for yourself.
Are you just jealous that I had the best burrito of my life?
Your last burrito of freedom. It's a metaphor.
I'm not taking you there. That's mine only.
Great.
I go there with Quinn.
Yeah, okay, fine. I just tore a little bit. That's the other thing. You know, they were like, oh, you got to do these stretches. You got to do Kegel exercises. You got to stretch out, do perineum stretches to not tear. And I was just like, it's too many things and none of it's guaranteed. So many women were like, oh man, you got to do your perineum massages. And I was like, oh, did you tear? Yeah, but not a ton. Okay. So you still tore. So you do a perineum massage, which is painful and really hard logistically to get to massage yourself. Like you had to do that every day leading up to your birth. And then you still tear? I was like, I'm too lazy. I'm sorry. I'm skipping this one. Give me the sugar. I'll take the dates. That's all I can do.
I think Hayley Ardula had a really good point. She's like, a lot of the stuff associated with pregnancy is not proven out. But if you enjoy it and you want to do it, then do it.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's stressful and yeah. like you don't like doing it, then don't do it. So maybe there are some women who love the perineum massage and it worked for them. Great.
Yeah.
Cool. But like, there's so many things and it was just like, yeah, you can drive yourself insane.
Trying to do all these things.
And so most of them probably are not going to do anything, but if it makes you happy, like.
Yeah. So baby comes out.
And then her eyes were wide open.
But, your big moment. Remember we talked about what are you going to do with the cord?
I cut it.
What? Do you remember what they were like, do you want to cut it? And you're like, sure.
Yeah. I mean, we're like, oh, we want to wait a certain amount of time. We want to do the cord clamping. We want to wait till it stops pulsing. And they're like, you want to cut it? And I was like, and they're like, okay, we're going to hold it here and we're going to hold it here. And then you just snip scissors right in the middle. And I'm just like, okay.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry that they didn't. Like that they allowed you to do this thing that people go to med school to do.
Right. So why am I doing it?
Well, that's why they made it foolproof.
What's the point?
So do you regret doing it? I'm sorry. No, did you have a burrito to finish?
I didn't have a magical moment.
You haven't had a magical moment yet.
No, watching the birth was a magical moment.
Okay.
Snipping the thing was not magical.
You weren't like, oh, I'll do it. Fine. If no one else will, I guess I will. Like, what? Are you guys busy? Your hands full?
Not used to you having alcohol.
Yeah, I finally woke up. I've been asleep for 9 months. I'm awake.
No, I just felt like, yeah, being down there and watching the birth happened was like the magical moment. I don't know how someone can equate watching the birth to snipping the cord as the same experience.
Sure.
I did it. Whatever.
Okay. Can't wait to tell Quinn. But I did it. Whatever. So anyway, she was born 7 pounds, 5 ounces, 21 and a half inches, very long.
Long baby. She came out with her eyes wide open. So like in the first few hours.
Which logistically, doesn't that burn?
Yeah,
I can't even hold my eyes underwater in a pool.
Everyone was like, she's so long and her eyes, she's so alert. Like over and over and over, everyone kept talking about how long she was and how alert she was.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, 3 months later, she is still alert.
She got some big eyes.
Her eyes are open and wide and looking at everything all the time.
I love it.
Yeah.
The nurse came in at one point in the middle of the night and she was surprised that I was awake and we were nursing, that I was trying to nurse. She was like she thought she had to come in and wake me up or something. And she's like, oh, you guys are already doing it? I was like, I thought we had to. I've been given no instructions. Like, were you going to come in here and do something? Like, I didn't know. They just let us.
The nurses were pretty good, though.
The nurses were amazing. Yeah. The night part, I felt like nobody really told us what it was going to look like. So I just assumed we had to do everything ourselves. Mm-hmm. I didn't know we were going to have help.
They taught me how to swaddle, taught us how to change diapers.
Yeah, taught you how to change diapers because I did not change a diaper for whole first month. I never changed a diaper.
And why did you change your first one?
Because I saw a social media post where Paris Hilton said she didn't change a diaper for a month. And I was like, well, I am one day away from a month, so I will change it right now and I will not be as bad as Paris Hilton. And I did.
That's fine. When your brother said I didn't, you know, he changes all the diapers, I was like, yeah, that's fine. I'm willing to do that.
It's not that bad, though. Yeah. I thought diaper changing was going to be really annoying and maybe it gets worse. If it does, please don't tell me. But it's not, I don't mind doing it at all.
Of all the things I was worried about, diaper changing is probably the least bad.
Turned out to be as bad.
Yeah. Everyone talks about the drive home, right?
Like, yeah,
the
baby. I was just thinking this.
And that didn't really, like, I wasn't nervous about that at all.
Terrified.
You were. But so the only thing was we get there and, like, you know, I had watched videos on the car seat. I had done it over and over and over, like, watching how to do it, you know, make sure memorize how to put the baby in the car seat. And all the videos were like, you know, because we have a base already installed in the car that we had tested and done everything. So we knew it was ready. But they're like, yeah, you put the baby in to the car seat outside of the car and then you lift the car seat into the car. So everybody I'd watched, that's what they said to do. So that was my plan.
I also thought that we were going to have to put the baby into the car seat in the hospital before they let us leave. I saw things that were like the dad walking out of the hospital with the baby in the car seat in their arm.
Yeah. So we didn't.
They would not. They were like, no, as a liability, we're not checking your car seat.
Mom's
holding the baby when we wheel you out.
So we get out there and I like go to take the baby and put her into the car seat. And
outside of the car.
Outside of the car. And the nurse is young.
She wasn't even a nurse. She was like
an aide or something. Yeah. And she's like, I don't have any kids, but I've seen people, they put the car seat in the car before they put the baby in. And I was like, oh, I don't know. I don't think that's how you do it. I haven't really watched people do that. And then she just like smirked at me and I'm like, okay, fine. I'll put the car seat in the car, put the baby in. And then it proceeded to be this like 15-minute process because I couldn't do it.
And she's so delicate and fragile and small and it's dark. It's nighttime.
Right. And so like we eventually got her in, but I'm like driving home. I'm like, why did I listen to her?
Yeah.
Like I had done all the work to prepare for a certain thing. And then I like changed at the last second and it was way worse than it would have been. But she was fine. We got home.
How was your experience, Lauren? Well, I'll tell you drove very slow. Thankfully, there's something of like the car, seeing a newborn She's so long and so skinny because she's so long. She just looks so breakable. Seeing her in a car seat, I did not feel like she looked protected at all. I was like, nothing could save this fragile little human from an accident. Mm-hmm. So I'm just sitting here like, oh my God, we can't get in an accident. Car seat aside, we cannot be in an accident because she's so helpless. Mm-hmm. So that was just like, watching her in the car seat was so stressful for me. For the first several car rides, still, we got home. Yeah.
And then I don't remember what happened next.
And then I blacked out. All right. Well, that feels like a good place to end it. I had an amazing birth story. Our history, our journey to get Quinn wasn't easy. And it almost feels like for every like bad thing you have to go through, you get to go through one good thing. Mm-hmm. And I think the birth being such a breeze for me was my one thing that I got. Mm-hmm. I love my birth story. Like, I was so terrified of birth because of my experience, because of my history, and for it to be awesome and magical and defying everyone's expectations and just surprising. And then my huge water breaking moment.
Even though you didn't know it was your water breaking moment.
Yeah.
I think, I mean, also, you know, shouting out Haley and, mm-hmm. and Madison again, like having a doula going through their birth classes, mm-hmm. preparing for every possible outcome.
Texting them, like just having them to talk through things.
And having an advocate every step of the way.
Yeah. Having them in the hospital with me, like even getting my midwife, even though she didn't get to deliver my baby, talking through my options right before her shift changed, like everything worked out.
I think one of the things that stuck with me with what Haley said was like, you want your birth process to feel like it was your choice.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
Women who feel like it was their choice, whatever that is, whatever direction they choose to go, they feel like they had a positive birth experience, mm-hmm. where women who feel like the outcome was forced upon them and it wasn't their choice are much more likely to have a negative view of how that happened. And so I think preparing ahead of time really, really helped you and your like psyche.
Their birth class, we went through every scenario, all the medication, all the steps. So just knowing what everything meant, I felt very prepared going into it. Yeah. All right. Well, that's a good place to end it. I feel like we could talk for hours. We have a lot more to cover, but we'll save it for next week. That's right. We're back. I'm saying this so that we come back. Whew. All right.
We did it.
We're cup out. Go take a nap. You know, we haven't really talked about, oh God, no, we got to go. Okay. Next episode, we'll talk about Quinn.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Okay. Bye.